When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Friday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. We're sans Anthony Pusick. He's got a lot going on, but I'm returning the favor for him having to do the podcast by himself back on Monday when I was traveling back from D.C. Of course, the big conversation today is we now have a Game 7 in Boston, Saturday night, primetime, ABC. It's the Bruins and the Maple Leafs. And here's what I have to say about all of the supposed conspiracy theories. It's crazy. And EJ will tell you, EJ, who we have on every Monday, when we used to do NHL Live together, come playoff time, it was constant emails. This is before, like, social media. We were getting emails from fans, calls from fans on the show, because it was a talk show that originally was just only on Sirius XM and then eventually ended up on the NHL Network. Of fans complaining that there's a conspiracy against their team. And that's why these bad calls happen. And I don't know why there wasn't a boarding call on Holmberg. There should have been. And that Nylander goal should have never happened. Okay, fine. I agree. They blew the call. I think there can be two things separated. They blew the call, but that does not necessarily mean that the higher-ups at the NHL want a Game 7. Stop it. Stop. Because if they want Game 7s, then they would have more than just the potential of one Game 7. We wouldn't see series end as quickly as they've ended. We've had more series end in four or five games than we have the potential of having seven games. Now, we might have three Game 7s. We know we have one, and the two games tonight with the Predators and the Vancouver Canucks, and of course the Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars. We could have two Game 7s and a Game 1 Rangers-Hurricanes on Sunday. But there also could just be this one Game 1. And if they were going to have conspiracy theories, there would not be a Golden Knights, Florida Panthers, Stanley Cup final last year. No offense to those two markets. But I don't think the networks and I don't think the NHL is salivating over the Vegas Golden Knights and the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup final. They want original six teams. They want big market teams. They want popular teams. They want Pittsburgh. They want Philadelphia. They want a Canadian franchise like Toronto or Montreal to go to the Stanley Cup Final. If they could push a button, I don't think they'd push the Florida Panther Vegas Golden Knights button. So if they have control and they want seven game series or they're for Canada or against Canada, you would see things much differently. You came out of a lockout in which the entire season was canceled in 04-05. The league was spiraling. Their national games were on NBC and OLN. They desperately needed something to get people back into hockey, and your Stanley Cup final that year was Edmonton, Carolina. If there was ever, let's pull the strings, let's have the Rangers and the Kings play. Let's have, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs go to the Stanley Cup final against, the Chicago Blackhawks. Let's not have the Edmonton Oilers and the Carolina Hurricanes so that NBC could basically get a zero rating because they'd get nothing from Canada and you got a small market, non-traditional Carolina Stanley Cup team. Heck, Buffalo would have been a better draw. They lost in seven games in the conference final. So if they were pulling strings, conspiracy theories, the Sabres would have been a Stanley Cup final this year. And oh, they pushed the button after the awful matchup between Edmonton and Carolina that got zero ratings. Conspiracy theorists, well, the NHL had to bounce back. So in 07, they had to make sure that we had a really potent, popular Stanley Cup final. So what did we get? We got Anaheim, Ottawa. Yeah! Believe me, if there are conspiracy theories, they have no idea what they're doing. If they are for the Leafs, oh, the league office, they love the Leafs. They love the original six. They're pining for the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs get all the calls. The Maple Leafs have not won the Stanley Cup since 1967. And oh, by the way, That's also the last time they went to the Stanley Cup final. That was the original six era. That was the last cup of the original six era. The last time the Toronto Maple Leafs won a Stanley Cup. There hasn't been a Canadian franchise to win a cup since 93, over 30 years ago. So there's no conspiracy theories for the Maple Leafs or for the league wanting a Canadian team to go all the way. Believe me, if there are conspiracy theories, they're awful at it. But what is awful is the officiating. I don't know how you missed that call. So a Bruin fan, be mad as heck that that happened. But there's no conspiracy theories to force a game seven. ABC's not in the bag. TNT's not in the bag. The league's not in the bag. Stop it. They just missed the call. And you should be red hot about the fact that they missed the call. I don't know how you missed it. His arm was tugged. It was clearly a boarding penalty. But I'll say this. I will say this. That might be a factor, but there's something up with the Boston Bruins. It's on them that there's a game seven. You can't have one shot on goal in the first period. After having, what, two shots on goal in the first period of Game 5? You get off to these slow starts. You were fortunate to be in a 1-1 tie in Game 5. You were fortunate enough to be scoreless last night, or whatever, or vice versa, whatever, and you were still in the game. You know, scoreless last night until Nylander scored to break the scoreless tie. And then, of course, he had the insurance goal, which was a gorgeous pass and a gorgeous goal. So if you believe in the fallacy of the predetermined outcome and the penalty should have been called, then that could have been a scoreless tie, and Nylander still scores to break the tie. And I don't think you would have had the breakdown the Leafs had in the final seconds for Boston to score that goal with a tenth of a second left on the clock. Boston's got to figure this out, man, because they did it last year. They had a 3-1 lead last year against Florida, lost Game 4, Game 5 in overtime, lost Game 6, ended up losing Game 7 at home, and now they're staring that possibility in the face on Saturday. And I don't know what you do about it. I don't know if you fire people. But now there's almost like a Doc Rivers kind of feel about Montgomery right now, that if they blow another 3-1 series lead with home ice advantage, losing another Game 7 at home, I'm not calling for anybody to be fired, but I'm sure there's something that's going to come out of that that's not going to be good. But we warned you about Boston going in. Anthony and I both had Toronto, because we felt like there was something missing with Boston. You can't lose Krejci and Bergeron and not have it affect you, although Coyle has been terrific. Wall's been also very good for Toronto here in the latter stages of the series. He's been a wall, no pun intended. But that's going to be a factor that I think is going to rear its ugly head at some point for the Boston Bruins to be able to be, you know, competitive in a Stanley Cup. I would not favor them against the Florida Panthers because of that, even if they were to win Game 7 tomorrow. But I feel bad that that call wasn't made. Yeah, I know Bergeron got Marchand got pushed down. Stop, that's going to happen, okay? I don't want every ticky-tack foul to be called. But I do believe that you have a complaint about the no call in that second period, but I do not, under any circumstances, going to blame everything on the officiating for a second consecutive year in which the Boston Bruins are on the verge of blowing a 3-1 series lead. And this one is going to sting if it happens. Not sure it's going to happen. Boston's at home. They've been able to hang in these games. So, but they are going to be in for a war that clearly favors the Florida Panthers, who are going to get a compromised team going in round number two.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The rest of the East, you've got, you know, we're twiddling our thumbs waiting to see what happens with Carolina and New York. We know game one is going to be Sunday. We just don't know the time. Now, here's what I'm hearing as far as the time. I think they want that to be the primetime game, New York market, Rangers, Hurricanes, rivalry, the whole thing. I don't think there's any kind of an appetite even for a game seven to have Stars, Golden Knights, or Canucks Predators here in the States be the primetime game. But here's the rub, is that I'm sure up in Canada, they're screaming, if it's Vancouver, that they're going to want that game to be in primetime. Saturday, a hockey night in Canada, the whole deal. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if the Canucks lose tonight in Nashville, which is a distinct possibility. I told you that I felt of all the teams that were down 3-1 that the Predators had the best chance of winning the series. Vancouver's goaltending's a mess. Nashville's home tonight for a 7 o'clock start, which you can see on TNT. Both games on TNT tonight, by the way. And that would force a Game 7 that I think Canada will want to see in prime time. So if Dallas wins their game tonight in Vegas, which is a distinct possibility, Dallas has won both games in Vegas, that if that series is over and it's just those two games on Sunday, then I can see there's the possibility of Rangers-Hurricanes at 3, say, on in that window, and then Canucks would be maybe a 7 or 7:30, even though it would be an afternoon game in Vancouver. For it to be a Canadian team, I think that would at least give them prime time on their East Coast. That's a guess on my part. If it ends up being three games, this is where it becomes interesting, because I still think they're going to have the appetite for the Canucks to be the prime time game, but you can't have Dallas be too early because of the fact that they're the central time zone. So here's what I would guess if there are three games on Sunday. I think you would probably get Rangers-Hurricanes at noon, get Dallas-Golden Knights at 3, and then the primetime game be the Canucks and the Predators. But maybe in North America, maybe the United States has more of a sway of not wanting to get the primetime game to be a Canadian franchise. I think there's a lot of discussion. There's been no announcement on time, even today, which then tells you that it's all contingent on what happens tonight. So tonight, 7 o'clock, Canucks and the Predators in Nashville, Stars and the Golden Knights in Vegas, Dallas and Vancouver have the 3-2 series leads. There could be just one game on Sunday. There could be three games on Sunday. I believe, this is what I'm going to guess, as soon as the Canucks-Predators game is over, we will get an announcement on the time. Because there is an unfairness too, right? I mean, if you're going to the game as a Ranger fan to the Garden, you want to know when you're going. I mean, am I going at noon? Am I going at 3? Am I going at 8? There's a big difference in time. You'd like to give people some sort of a heads up. So if that game ends up ending in regulation, maybe sometime around 10 o'clock tonight, we'll find out the start time for Sunday. Not a big deal to the players. Carolina's already in New York in preparation for the game on Sunday. Just a matter of when the game will be played. So that's what I'm hearing. That's up in the air. It's all not official. The only thing that is official is the Game 1, Hurricanes-Rangers, is at Madison Square Garden and will be on Sunday. Time to be determined. As far as Predators-Canucks, give the Predators credit. They won Game 5, did a great job in it, 2-1 game. So it really wasn't about Vancouver's goaltending situation. It's just the Predators playing their game. I mean, that's what they do. They're not an overly offensive team. They've always done it with their goaltending. They've always done it with their defense. And that's probably the way they're going to be able to try to see if they can navigate their way through this series. Same with the Stars and the Golden Knights. We saw that it was a road-favored series until Dallas was able to take care of business in Game 5 at home. And I think Dallas will wrap this up tonight. So I think Dallas is going to advance. But all this works in the favor of Edmonton. They made short work of the Los Angeles Kings. Congratulations to them. They advance now to round number 2. Third consecutive year they disposed of the Los Angeles Kings. Kings just didn't have enough offense. They played the heck out of it defensively, especially holding them to 13 shots in Game 4. But they just don't have the firepower to match Edmonton. Edmonton is a scary, scary team, and it's kind of breaking their way right now. They're going to play the winner of Vancouver and Nashville, and it's either going to be a Nashville team that had to come back from 3-1 down, or it's going to be a Vancouver team that's got compromised goaltending, because I'm not sure Demko is going to come back. So it's really playing well for Edmonton to get back to the conference final for the first time in a couple of years. And now you've got Dallas and Colorado. Colorado's well rested. They took advantage of an awful hullabuck in that series. So now you get a rested Colorado team, a primed Colorado team that I still think has deficiencies in goal, but still a well-rested, explosive team with some of the best players in the NHL, and McCarr and McKinnon in that series. And Dallas, I've got them going to the Stanley Cup final, so I believe Dallas can win. but they want to make sure that they finish it up tonight. If they've got to play a game seven, that is going to be a huge advantage for Colorado. Edmonton and Colorado are sitting back just hoping that these two series go seven games, and boy, does it put them in a really interesting predicament. And the thing I love about Dallas, if they can make it out of this series, is that you take a look at the goaltending. Georgiev, inexperienced. I'm not sure how I would classify him as a great goaltender by any stretch. Edmonton, you've got Stuart Skinner, same kind of deals, had a great year, but not a ton of experience. I wouldn't label him a great goaltender. And, you know, Vancouver's got their problems in goal, right? So if it all breaks the way with the favorites, you know, Dallas is going to have the better goaltender. I mean, Ottinger, I think, is a better goaltender than any goaltender he could face out of UC Soros if Nashville makes it out. So Dallas, I think, is in really good shape. I think Edmonton is in really good shape. And, boy, that would be a heck of a conference final out west if it's Dallas and Edmonton. As far as the East, we know Rangers, Hurricanes, Florida Panthers are just waiting for Boston and Toronto. So I think Florida is in great shape. And I think this Rangers-Hurricanes series is going to be an absolute beast. And that also plays to Florida, right? Because if Florida makes short work of their opponent, they could be sitting back and watching the Rangers and Hurricanes clubbing each other. No Pesci, it looks like, to start this series for the Hurricanes. Interesting what's happening with Adam Fox not practicing. You remember that knee on knee that he had in the Washington game back on Sunday. So is it the knee? Is it just resting? Peter Laviolette kind of slipped with when he's cleared, he's cleared. Well, you said that it was maintenance. Why are you throwing out the word cleared? So as of that moment, I don't know whether he's on the ice today or not. But, boy, if they lose Adam Fox or compromise Adam Fox to start the series, that is a huge disadvantage to the New York Rangers. All right, let's hear from you at Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct, as we close out the week. J.E. says, hey, Don and Anthony, great work as always. Chart folks are gaga for the Canes, but do you guys feel that their man-on-man D structure could play right into the strengths of the Rangers forward group? The way the New York Rangers play cycles may prove very dangerous to Kane's style. Well, that has not been the case in the regular season. I called the 1-0 game last month where the Rangers won on a fluke goal. There was no room. There was no cycling. There was no offense. And the Rangers' other win against Carolina was 2-1. Carolina's one win was a 6-1 victory. Maybe you might be onto something, but I just don't think there's going to be a lot of room. I don't think there's going to be a lot of goals. I like the Rangers because I think they've got the better goaltender, but I guess when you're talking about very few goals, it may not be that big of a deal. Our buddy Steve Brzezinski says, are the Bruins on the brink of looking to rebuild their team after another disappointing finish? And does Sidney Crosby look to be traded next year if the Penguins struggle early? Well, two questions there. First of all, the Bruins haven't lost yet, so if they were to lose, they still got some young talent, especially on the blue line. Pastrnak got called out by Montgomery after game six, saying that he needs to be better. So he knows his players better than everybody. We'll see if that kind of triggers anything. They do need help at center, but I don't think they're in any kind of an appetite for a rebuild. As far as Sidney Crosby, everybody I talk to in Pittsburgh laughs at the idea of him ever being traded. He is in the last year of his contract, however. So you got to make a decision. Am I going to give him money or am I going to trade and get something for him? Because and they don't have a lot of room under the cap. So I think it makes sense to trade them. If they get off to a slow start, but Crosby's playing well, that could be the essence of a rebuild right there. You can't get overly caught up in his importance. Listen, they've won three Stanley Cups with him. They were able to get off the mat from bankruptcy thanks to him and Mario Lemieux. Thanks for everything, but if you really want to have a franchise moving forward, difficult decisions have to be made. And to have him die on the vine doesn't help the Pittsburgh Penguins any, and it certainly doesn't help the end of Sidney Crosby's career. So I hope something gets resolved there. Haywood says, okay, guys, we got a game seven with Toronto and Boston. Who you got? He's leaning Bruins. I am as well. I can't see it happen in a second consecutive year. And the Austin Matthews thing is really interesting. Is he going to miss a third consecutive elimination game? What's going on there? I hate to speculate. Is it a concussion? Is it mono? I mean, everything's on the table. They didn't throw out upper body. They didn't throw out lower body as which being speculated because there's talk that maybe he had taken a hit earlier in the series from McAvoy, and that might be a knee injury. Well, they didn't call it a lower body injury. They called it an illness. The only illness that can keep a world-class player out of elimination games are mono, or something that just he can't play. I mean, I would think anybody in that situation where your season on the brink is going to fight through it. He's a hockey player. He's Austin Matthews. I think we're going to find out it's going to clear up a lot of things. But I think the narrative for Toronto has clearly changed from complete dysfunction to showing a lot of guts winning games 5 and 6 without Austin Matthews. And maybe it could make a loss in game 7 a little bit more tolerable for the fans up north because their team at least showed you something they didn't in the first 4 games of the series. Phil says, it'll be interesting if Hedl does get in. I've been told by several people it probably will take an injury or something significantly bad in the series, like maybe dropping the first 2 games. Well, that's what I had said, so maybe Phil was getting that from me or the same people that I talked to. That seems to be the case with Philip Hedl, is that when does he get in? There's no indication that he will be going in on Sunday. Peter Laviolette is exceptionally loyal, so I don't think he's going to pull anybody out of the lineup to bring Hedl in unless there's an injury or unless you need to shake things up. I mean, that's what I was told, is if obviously you suffer an injury, he's ready to go, he'll jump in. And say you lose the first 2 games of the Garden, you're in panic mode, you need something to change, why not put him in? He's healthy, he's ready to go. It's just a question of the door opening, and you need a reason for that door to open, and we'll see if it happens at some point in this series. So if I'm right about what I've been hearing, that if you're a Ranger fan and you don't want Hedl to come back in, because then that means everything's going swimmingly and there's no reason to bring him back in. But how often does it go that swimmingly? There's going to be ebbs and flows. They won the first games of the series. I don't think they're going to go and win 16 straight and win the cup. I mean, at some point, you're going to face some adversity. I would suspect it's going to be in this series because I have a lot of respect for Carolina. So I think at some point you will see Hedl, but it'll probably be at a point because of injury or because of maybe slight panic. All right, this was fun. I want to hear from you. Enjoy the game 7 tomorrow. Enjoy the game 6s tonight. By Monday, we will have resolution. We will already be into the second round. All the first round will be over. Hopefully, we'll be able to hook up with EJ, get his thoughts on what's going on in round number 2, some predictions as well. And if you want to hear from us or you want to talk to us during the course of the weekend, at Don LaGreca and at Anthony Pusek, hashtag Game Misconduct. We'll talk to you again on Monday. This was the Friday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.